One of the largest and most influential paranormal conferences in the country, UNIFCON, is coming for the largest and most spectacular event to date. UNIFCON offers a trademark variety of events, including academic workshops, committees, entertainment, ghost hunts, debates, and even social outings. It is more than a conference, it is a cultural event to celebrate the paranormal, its pioneers, investigators, and the attendees. Thousands have attended UNIFCON in the past, and every year the numbers grow. UNIFCON is still the only major paranormal conference held at a university. UNIFCON holds that university mentality of continuing education, research, and a safe environment to present new ideas. It is a place to learn and discuss paranormal investigation methods, psychology in the paranormal, demonology, ethics, and more. Every conference takes place at University Park, Pennsylvania, home of Penn State University. This year, be a part of history. Join us this year, October 18th to the 21st, 2007, for UNIFCON 6, the greatest show on earth. For ticket information, visit www.unifcon.org. That's www.unifcon.org.
When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the hall.
Okay, this is Dream Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
So our EMF meter started this little pain line.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
Join us for the paranormal event of 2007.
The Halloween Spooktacular, October 27th, at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor, author of 50 of the best-known books on haunted history, not to mention the Ghost Hunter's Guidebook.
Meet the rock and roll ghost hunter Keith Dage from Sci-Fi Channel Spooked, and Del Kazmarek, president of the renowned Ghost Research Society.
Join in the discussion with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and psychic detective Ken Berg.
Meet Becky Ray and Laura Moon, host of Darker Side of the Moon Radio. And, of course, there's us.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, live from the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
If that's not enough, folks, there's a free tour of the Greenwood Cemetery and a big screen viewing of the 1932 classic movie, The Old Dark House.
There's even a haunted Decatur tour and a late-night hunt of the Lincoln Theater itself, sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
Seating is limited, folks. Make reservations now at www.prairieghost.com/halloween.html or by calling 888-446-7859. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express accepted.
It's not just spooky.
It's spooktacular!
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Do that again, Bonnie, on the air. Thank you.
I'm normally insulted by the guests on the air, so I didn't really know how to take it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I just happened to laugh while taking a drink of my water, and it didn't work out very well.
Well, no, because that was awesome, and it was like 0.01 seconds away from coming back. I mean, Keith was talking.
That's usually how it works, Doug. You know how it goes.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And let me do this here. Jeremy Hawthorne developed an early interest in the paranormal and in technology. Over the years, he's found numerous ways to combine the two. He always tries to stay right on top of the newest equipment and devices that are able to aid paranormal investigators. He specializes in research regarding infrared and the technologies that utilize it. Doing so has expanded his understanding of energy, light, and the electromagnetic spectrum as a whole. He studied parapsychology at Franklin Pierce College in New Hampshire. He resides in central Illinois, where he continues his research and strives to learn as much as he can, as well as to educate others as often as possible, and hopefully us too. Jeremy founded the Anomalous Research Center in August 2006 to try and unite top researchers from all over the world under one roof. Your website, of course, Jeremy, is www.arcparanormal.org, arcparanormal.org. Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
No problem.
No problem. We actually get to meet you guys a couple times, right? Do you know what? You're not talking on the phone.
Not talking on the phone.
No. Now you're talking on the phone. I pushed every button except
yours. How about
we
try
yours.
That again?
I pushed every button except yours, but sorry about that. You know, speaking of technology, lots of technology involved in this, but infrared has always fascinated me, Jeremy, because the, you know, there's these parts of the electromagnetic spectrum. Got it already, thanks.
Okay.
she's reminding me of buttons to push and knobs to turn and things. The electromagnetic spectrum is just huge. And I got a sense of that when I was, I studied a little bit of radio way back in my youth. And it's, you know, it's just these frequencies and frequency waves. But, you know, you can hear them if it's sound. You can see them if it's light. You can pick them up with a radio if it's radio. You can plug in and use them if they're electric. I mean, the electromagnetic spectrum, you know, it just ranges incredibly. And how does it work? Why does it appear different or seem different, the different frequencies? It just drives me up a wall.
Well, a lot has to do with this wavelength. And, of course, you know, the shorter the wavelength, the more energy it has. When you're dealing with, like, gamma rays, has an extremely short wavelength, and that is the most dangerous as far as on the entire electromagnetic spectrum. And all the way back, you know, you've got, like, radio waves, stuff like that, which is what, you know, we deal with, which are humongous wavelengths, and it's just how much energy they have within them. And when you're dealing with like photons and stuff like that too, where you've got these little packets of energy that are on these wavelengths, and it's just according to how many photons they have and how much energy they have is what they'll do. So, and what kind of reactions they have with the environment, whether you're dealing with like infrared light or visible light or even ultraviolet, all the way to X-rays and gamma rays and such. So it's just it's amazing. The electromagnetic spectrum encompasses so much just as a whole. It's just a really phenomenal, fascinating thing.
Well, there was the, you know, in the ITC field, for example,
mm-hmm.
What was it, the ghost at 67 megacycles or the ghost at 66 megacycles, whatever they called it, you know, that was Mueller and all that,
mm-hmm.
the little
mm-hmm.
group
mm-hmm.
down there. What... Why would ghosts be involved in the electromagnetic spectrum?
Well, that's a good question. I suppose there's a lot of different ways to put it. I mean, if you consider ghosts, and some people have theorized that they're energy, then perhaps this is a way for them to either travel or to present themselves, to kind of be in with these photons, which are, you know, just basically energy themselves. So I mean, at some level, perhaps, you know, they're one and the same, or they share similar traits, or they can use the electromagnetic spectrum to present themselves, or to travel. I mean, it's really we're still in such an infancy stage with understanding all this that it's really hard to tell. But it's definitely a strong possibility that there are correlations between this type of phenomena and the electromagnetic spectrum.
Well, I mean, one of the things that Dr. Ken of Ohio showed me, one of my very first, like, big ghost hunts, was Scott and I took his little course or a little whatever, and he looked at, you know, a bunch of people had brought their EMF detectors, so he borrowed one from the audience, and he took it over to somebody, and he turned it on, and he says, I didn't detect you on it. And I'm like, no, obviously, you know, it's not picking up living people. Why would it pick up a ghost?
Well, I suppose, for one thing, it just depends how much energy you're dealing with. And when I speak of the electromagnetic spectrum, I think the most important aspect of that would be, you know, the infrared range. Not really. When you're dealing with EMF meters, you're dealing with, like, Gauss, Emily Gauss, which is a form of Tesla, which is... you know, the power and the energy coming off of that versus, you know, them using it to present themselves, like, visually. So, you know, with an electro, you know, magnetic field detector, you know, like a, you know, like a tri-field or a Mr. Gauss, which is, you know, the cheaper style, you're really trying to find a specific spot of power, you know, in the electromagnetic field, whether it be AC or DC. So, you know, I'm not a scientist myself. So, you know, I don't, you know, as far as that goes, I just, you know, I focus more on the infrared aspect and with the electromagnetic spectrum, trying to understand it more, since we use infrared in a lot of different ways, and we actually use, you know, even the electromagnetic spectrum, we use that in a lot of different ways too when we do investigations, whether, you know, we're dealing with night vision or thermal imaging, or even you know, using our radios and we're, you know, communicating with each other. Some people even do ultraviolet experiments, and of course there's always visible light. We always
right.
have to see. So I mean, there's just a lot of different things that hold true for us in the electromagnetic spectrum, and that's what I've tried to focus on, try to understand a little better. So.
But it's kind of the same thing. Maybe I have it wrong. So explain it. If What you're doing with the infrared, right,
mm-hmm.
with infrared and the heat detector things, and what you're doing is you're basically enabling a human to look at, in those particular cases, in a visual way, right, look
mm-hmm.
at in a
yeah.
visual way a range of the spectrum that normally they don't see with their eyes, right? So it's taking...
Yeah, exactly, like...
Yeah, it's picking up this range of the spectrum. It's translating it into pictures in the case of infrared and the heat vision things. So
yeah,
if,
because there are different types of infrared too. So
right, and so
yeah.
it's allowing us to expand our perception. So we're trying to perceive ghosts, right? We're trying to perceive ghosts. Do they hang out there? I mean, in that spectrum? Probably not, because...
No, I think, too, I mean, yeah, it's allowing us, you know, whether, if you're dealing with some type of intelligent presence, maybe it just doesn't want to, it doesn't want you to see it.
Right.
And maybe this will be a way for us to kind of see it, whether it wants us to or not. So, you know, I don't know, there's so many theories and so many, you know, hypotheses floating around of what does what and what happens here and stuff like that. So I think right now, the stage we're at, you know, everything's worth a shot to check out and maybe even theorize and then test it, you know, test it, retest it, and test it again. So especially, you know, when you're dealing with not only like night vision, but, you know, thermal imaging too, you know, because with night vision, you're dealing with basically near and mid infrared. And with thermal imaging, you're dealing with far infrared or heat radiation. So, because if you get down to technical terms, the whole electromagnetic spectrum is radiation. So that's why the shorter the wavelengths, you know, the more dangerous it is. So, I think as far as with night vision, it's a way for us to kind of get a glimpse into a place we normally wouldn't be able to see, or you know, with the near and the mid infrared, and you know, I've worked with like the infrared spotlights and trying to reflect the infrared and get a better image of it, so you don't end up, you know, when the normal you know, picture you get, you've got a really bright spot in the center, but you can't see a lot on the outside, you know, whether it be a camera or a camcorder. And then trying to fix that and work with the shadows and see what works best so you can just get a clear, decisive image using night vision. So.
Well, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm trying to understand this, okay?
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to do, and I got you on the phone, so I get to do this. if you had all kinds of equipment with you, if you had a thermal camera and an infrared camera. You had regular cameras. You've got flashlight, which of course, if you're in the dark, you would need a flashlight in order for a regular video camera to pick anything up because you've got to illuminate your subjects.
Exactly.
You've got EMF detectors, which detect a different kind of frequency. You've got all these different things. You could even, for that matter, take one of them little microwave leakage detectors, right? I mean, because if that thing lights up while you're walking around a haunted prison, run.
yeah, you don't need to be there.
Yeah, run, don't walk. But I mean, these are all instruments that let you experience parts of the electromagnetic spectrum that you normally wouldn't experience. So it's bringing you more data, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and the good thing is, you know, let's say cost is not an issue, and you've got, you know, thermal imaging, you've got night vision, all this stuff set up. You know, if you set all this up to collect data in one specific area, and you get something that happens, you know, let's say you get some type of image goes across your night vision, maybe some type of shadow or something happens, and it also correlates with your thermal imaging. Say there's some type of spike or drop there. And on top of your, you know, EMF detector, you know, the more stuff you have, the more variables you have, the more they'll back each other up. You know, that there's something going on. And then when you find something like that, that's when you can further investigate and do more to find out exactly what happened and can you recreate it and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely that type of equipment, I think, is definitely an invaluable tool in the type of research we do.
And I wholeheartedly agree. I think that the more observations we can make of a haunted area, and I'm and I would like to include not only, you know, thermal and infrared and visible light and sound, you know, recording sound with tape recorders and electro digital thingies and photos and videos, and I mean, the more data you can get, the more you can cover a haunted location, and I'm going to include psychics and mediums and pretty much, you know, anybody who can pick up this stuff. If you can pick it up on an infrared, or you can pick it up on a, I don't know, while you're in a trance, okay? The more info you can get about a particular haunted spot, I think the better off you're going to be, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, with, you know, with psychics and stuff, though, I mean, I try, you never really want to use those as a crutch, necessarily. You might want to, if someone says, well, I feel something here, it might give you an idea of maybe where to start, you know, with you know, your investigation, what area to focus on. You know, but I think definitely the more you've got, the more, you know, and your evidence will stand up. So, the, you know, the more variables you have, and the better off you'll be when you compile it all, correlate it.
And that's true. But I think that, you know, some of the information that they can bring, you know, may or may not be correlatable, you know, but it's more information. Information is
exactly
information, no matter how you get it. What if you took a if you took all your equipment, what one would you think would have the best chance right now of seeing a ghost, capturing evidence?
As far as evidence, I got to be honest. My favorite type of evidence, or I think would is the best. I'm actually not as experienced in this field, but I actually think that like a Class A EVP. That will answer a question. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask something in a room, it answers it back very clearly. I think, and then you know, you may analyze it and find that a particular hurts or and such like that. I think that's one, you know, one of the best pieces of evidence you can have. Something that responded to you. You know, it's, you know, irrefutable evidence that once you've gotten it is very clear. It's answered a question. That to me, that's my favorite type of evidence. But it's not, unfortunately, it's not what I focused on most. So.
Although I have to agree, I went to hear a Class A EVP that pertains to what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
or pertains to a certain mm-hmm. person in the room. Like if mm-hmm. if we're sitting there and Bonnie and I are chatting, and I didn't scream "Hi, Bonnie," but somebody did, that
yeah.
would be pretty. I mean, yeah, it didn't answer a question, but it's. You know, pretty obvious something intelligent said it. So, or unless it was certain people that we know. But the, but that is so incredibly compelling. It's compelling evidence when you get
and
that.
And stuff
kind
like that
thing.
That keeps us going, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a little snippet of, well, maybe. It keeps us going out there and definitely trying to find something, you know, in every place we investigate. So
if you can take parts of the electromagnetic spectrum and convert them from, like if you're standing in a cemetery or you're standing in a haunted former prison or you're standing at a place where a train wreck happened or, you know, you're standing somewhere, there it's completely dark, right, with your eyes anyway. I mean, yeah, your eyes adjust and you'll get a little bit of light, but... You know, I mean, so hopefully you don't, like, trip and, you know, injure yourself. But
which
but,
I would.
Which Bonnie would try. And, but what if, and you've got your recorders going and things like that. Why can't you take what you would normally think of visual data, such as infrared or thermal imaging, and translate into sound?
Hmm. Well, I know, for example, there is an electromagnetic, a device that I think it's sold through Less EMF, and it's very simple. It's a very simple device. It'll actually take electromagnetic fields, and when it picks those up, it'll you take it through an amplifier,
uh-huh.
so you can actually hear it that way. So, I mean, like, there's been experiments where people hook that up to a recorder and try to pick up something, you know, when they get some type of spike. Yeah, and now, keep in mind, it's a single axis, and it'll pick up AC and DC fluctuations. But, you know, I think if you could do that, as far as even with, you know, the entire electromagnetic spectrum or even just dealing with infrared, that would be awesome. You know, that would be, you know, the way to go. So, but I just know with, not getting too far off topic here, but when you're dealing with, like, night vision camcorders, I mean, a lot of people know that when they just cut those on, they're not very bright. You know, you don't get a lot unless you're out and there's a lot of moonlight or there's a lot of light from some type of, like, secondary source. So what I've tried is trying to figure out some way to increase the amount of infrared that is available as far as, you know, near and mid-infrared to make that a better picture. So you actually get a full picture like you would if you were just shooting in the daylight. So versus, you know, the little spot of bright light you normally get, and then everything else around that is very dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that can be a problem. You know, if you get, you know, and I hesitate to use the word orb, but if you get an orb pass by, you know, if you can't see from the outside, you don't know what direction it came from necessarily and where it's going to. So,
well,
it's the better the picture you got, the better off you're going to be.
I think infrared has changed over the years. I remember having, and I know a lot of people who've listened to Ghostly Talk for a long, long time, for 6 years, has know this story already. But I remember having one of the early Sony Handycams.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go outside on my front porch, soon to be former
front porch. Is that the
High 8? Yeah, it was a High 8. And
yeah.
And I could go outside on my front porch, and I could point it down the street, and I could see pretty much almost to the end of the street, okay? I mean, this was mm-hmm. quite a long ways. And everything looked absolutely just like, you know, I could tell everything. I mean, you know,
yeah.
In order to read a house number that far away, I'd have to, like, zoom in. But, you know, I mean, everything looked just like as if it were daylight, only greenish. And
yeah, and if you're outside, yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, if it's cloudy, you may have some problems. But, like, starlight, you know, stars produce infrared light and such. So, I mean, you've got quite a bit to detect there.
But with the new breed mm-hmm. of cameras, I go outside with, you know, the new breed of infrared, and I don't get quite the same effect.
Yeah. Well, that could just be Sony's doing. You know, I mean, it's as far as the generations really haven't changed in the camcorders themselves. They're still sticking with mainly, like, Generation 2
mm-hmm.
Technology. And because Gen 3 is still primarily used in the military, and Gen 4 is a new type that's out in the military, which actually is kind of interesting because they use what's called a gated power cell in that. And, you know, before they talk about when you flip on a bright light, it could damage the infrared sensors in there,
right.
Or it could blind you, for example. But this one, with the gated power cell, it'll automatically shut off, so you don't have that problem anymore, which is very handy for, you know, troops using night vision goggles.
Well, I like that. Is there any truth to the thing where if you cover your flashlight with red film or blue film, it won't damage?
You know, somewhat, yeah, because, I mean, the red is the furthest as far as in the range of visible light. I mean, it's definitely different than white light, and you could tell that, you know, you shine it around a room, if it's dark, then you're not going to get as much illumination visually than you normally would get shining a normal flashlight. So, yeah, it's a little better. So, because, I mean, actually, infrared is Latin for below red. So it's the closest. So that would be the best alternative for a flashlight.
Oh, that's interesting. I would like to try that, actually. Wow, I thought of an experiment to try. Of course.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we're going to do that at Mothman, then. But if... we'll do everything at Mothman Festival.
They're never going to invite us back.
I know. We have, like, 1 minute left of this half hour, so I'm just going to throw out your website, of course, Jeremy, is www.arcparanormal.org, and so folks can go there and look up things. While we're talking, folks can go to www.ghostlytalk.com and get in the chat rooms. Bonnie is intently chatting. I see her clicking on things and doing stuff. And we're going to come back. We're going to be talking with you for another half hour. So I've got to go absorb this, right? and try and figure it all out in just a half hour. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Great. You made Doug's brain hurt.
Yes,
thanks.
You have. Yes, you have.
And excellent.
It works out.
And
really
my
well.
Work here is done.
But do stick around, Jeremy. And meanwhile, arcparanormal.org. We'll be right back after this break, if I can find it.
Oh, Doug.
Excellent. Thank you.
Join the three paramigos for some serious discussion of the paranormal.
He wants to know how John prepares himself for what he sees before he goes out on some of these investigations.
I just take my glasses off.
And as usual, some surprising guest.
I was going to contract the beautiful Rodney Dangerfield. Can you hear me, Rodney?
Hey, what is this place? Where am I? I need to fire my agent. I get no respect.
Some very serious topics will be discussed.
Did you ever share with everybody my nickname for you?
No. Go ahead and tell them.
Tiny.
From the serious to satire, the Three Paramigos radio program, Tuesday nights on the APEC Radio Network, 8 to 10 p.m. Central.
The Three Paramigos are we.
What are we made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced whole life? These are just a few of the questions explored each week by naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant, Dr. Rita Louise on Just Energy Radio. Explore your possibilities every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us at JustEnergyRadio.com.
Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this sweet Go See Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Go See Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
We're going to change it. You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Bonnie Joe.
I like that.
Okay. It's that time, Dougie.
It is indeed that time. It is that time. What's the phone number again? Because you guys have to know this. You have to know the phone number. Of course, those on the phone already are all set.
Right, right.
But...
Area code 605-475-8590. And when you're asked for the special conference code, enter 555-1081 followed by the pound sign.
And if you can answer this question...
First.
The first person to answer this question, you can get tickets to the Mid-South Paranormal Convention coming
for
up.
For free.
Yeah, you get... You get into the conference for free. We put you on the VIP list. Well, in some kind of list anyway. It's the same list we're on. Anyway.
To raise your hand and answer the question.
I like to think we're on the VIP list.
We are.
You have to call in to that number, the 605, whatever it is. It's in my phone.
605-475-8590.
And then enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign. And then when you're on the line, you can raise your hand by pressing 1-1. And that will alert our operators. Our operators will throw a rock or one of the Nerf footballs. I did give them one.
At my head.
At Bonnie's head. And she will alert me, and then we will know to answer the line and see if you know the answer. If you know the answer, you get two tickets to the Mid-South.
Is it two or one?
I don't remember. So I'm going to say two.
All right. Well, you're getting two this week.
Yeah. To the Mid-South Paranormal Convention coming up in Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the question.
It's a toughie.
What does the term EVP stand for? I know they're getting harder. I know they're getting harder.
We've made these so tough. It's almost impossible for people to win.
I don't know how anyone's going to get this. What does the term EVP stand for? Call the phone number and dial in and do the
conference. And again, it's 605-475-8590.
And then 555-1081 followed by the pound sign. And if you think you know it, press 1-1. And we will be alerted, and we will answer your line and see if you get it right. And if you get it right, we'll give you two tickets to the Mid-South coming up in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, back to Jeremy Hawthorne of arcparanormal.org. That's arcparanormal.org. Jeremy, you did hang out through all that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Do you, by chance, don't say it, but do you
I was
know the
call
answer
in.
To that
You're
going to
call in?
Question?
Yeah, Jeremy, I'm going to call in.
Jeremy's going to call in and so that he can go to the Mid-South Paranormal Conference for free. Well, yes. You still have to get there, and you have to, like, have a hotel room, I'm sure, unless you're just
but
breathing
But the tickets
through.
To the event.
But the ticket to the event.
The hard part's done for you.
All right, that would be
you
on
have
us.
The ticket.
That would be on us.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Anyway, so, yeah, you'll have to call in after your half hour, I guess.
If no one's raised their hand by then.
But someone may get it by then.
I wonder.
They may know the answer by then.
I don't know. We'll be monitoring anyway. So we were talking about the electromagnetic spectrum. We were talking about different frequencies and wavelengths of visible light, of sound, things like that. And of course, I think the single most common thing that people know is that these things travel at different rates of speed. Like light travels faster than sound. For example, when lightning strikes, you know, you see that first before you hear the thunder, the sound portion of that event. And so I just don't have an actual like concept of it yet. I know that ITC, instrumental transcommunication, which by the way is not the answer to the question what the term EVP stand for.
Pre-EVP.
Yeah. But ITC deals with the different wavelengths. They worked with the ghost of whatever megacycles. I think it was like 66 megacycles or something, or 100 megacycles or whatever they called it that back then. And they're working on that particular thing took different sounds, right? And they put them together. There was like 6, 8, or 12, I don't remember exactly, different sounds. They put that together and broadcast it, and they let a ghost, this is their theory, they let the ghost modulate the sound into words. And that's like when you listen to the Spiricom recordings, mm-hmm. it sounds like a computer, mm-hmm. with many tones in it. Perhaps a ghost, I don't know, and I'm asking Jeremy, perhaps a ghost can use these different wavelengths, this different power, this different stuff to communicate with us.
Oh, possibly. I think anything's possible as far as that respect. But, I mean, you definitely have to be dealing with an entity that has some type of consciousness with it, not necessarily like a residual, obviously, because it wouldn't know to do such. If you have, if you have an open door, it wouldn't know to walk through it. So I think anything's possible. And ITC, I'm not, super familiar with everything dealing with ITC, but I think that's definitely an area of research worth checking out. So,
I just had something thrown at me. We do have somebody
Excellent.
Who thinks they know the answer to the question, Jeremy. And I know it's a tough question. Let me.
I'm just glad something hit you.
Thank you. Somebody in the area code 757 is on the phone. Who's on the phone?
Hi, this is Terry.
Hey, and you know the answer to Terry, you said?
Yes, Terry from Virginia Beach.
Oh, from Virginia Beach. Ooh. We were supposed to go there this year, but then they moved it and then they canceled it. So
the ARE is right down the road.
I am one of the biggest fans of Edgar Cayce.
I know you are.
Yes,
I know you are.
I absolutely adore Edgar Cayce and everything he's done. I absolutely everything. But I do have to ask you this question, okay? And this is a tough one.
I hope you know the answer.
What does the term EVP stand for?
Electronic voice phenomenon.
Oh, my God. Yay!
I can't believe I got it. Oh, my God. It was so hard.
You won. You won.
You must have been on Google for hours looking that up.
I was. I couldn't figure it out.
Did you have inside info to the question? Because you got that very quickly.
Yeah, that was very quick. I have to
agree. Well, actually, I'm pretty good at getting them myself.
That was absolutely awesome. Terry, so Virginia Beach, that, of course, is a place where Edgar Cayce, he had asked the information, where should I set up shop? Where should I move to
Exactly, and that's why I live here, buddy, because I don't want to be, you know, demolished when, you know, 2012 comes up.
I have to say that his Earth Changes prophecies are quite devastating, and, you know, the Pacific Coast obviously is going to fall in. All this stuff is going to happen, but Virginia Beach is going to be unscathed, according to.
Well, that's what he thinks. Yeah.
So that information, the information, which is what he called it, was quite accurate on a lot of stuff. So I'm hoping that that you'll be safe too in 2012. I don't know how Michigan's going to fare though, so I might end up moving down there with you in 2011. So you'll have to, like, clear out a corner of your garage or something.
And when he says with you, he means with you.
Yes.
He's moving into your home.
Clear out a corner of the garage, and I'll throw a pillow down. Okay, that's all it takes. Terry, let me ring you. I'm going to ring you back. Can I call you at the number you called this from? And I'll call you right after the show.
Yeah, sure. I'll be here.
And I'll get all the info for the, for you know, that they want to put on the guest list. Is that okay? Excellent. It's okay. Thank you, Terry.
I'm sorry. It's like really bad connection here.
Yeah, it that happens when we get a lot of people on the line. So I apologize. But I'll call you right back after the show. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that does.
All right, I'm going to put you on mute again, and thank you so much for calling in and answering that tough question.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, that was fantastic to hear from Terry from Virginia Beach,
yes.
Virginia. Of course, a place that's near and dear to my heart because of the tie-in with Edgar Cayce. Jeremy, thank you for allowing some of your time up for that. It's an important thing because I love conferences. Tell me about conferences that you go to. What do you get out of them?
Oh, well, a lot of networking, to be honest. You get to meet a lot of different people and from a lot of different parts of the country, you know, people that are doing, you know, like research firsthand. And like when I went to the Supernatural Summit, you know, I got to meet people I've been talking to for a long time. And this past year when I went up there and taught the infrared classes, you know, that was a lot of fun and very thrilling for me to get to do that. And yeah, I definitely appreciate them giving me the opportunity to do that. And yeah, when I went down, I saw you guys again down in Decatur. You know, it's an opportunity to see people that you haven't seen in a while and meet new people and you know, maybe pick up on some new stuff and see what's happening, you know, around the country and around the world. So I think it's definitely it's a community thing for me. So it's important to meet new people and see what's happening.
What's your favorite part of conferences? Is it the lectures that people do, or is it the, obviously there's quite a nightlife that goes on? I've heard.
It's a crazy nightlife.
I've heard.
We have videos.
Doug's
involved.
I wouldn't know. No, not me.
Actually, I think you're guilty.
Actually, you know, the lectures are the greatest part because it's really to see, like, particular people who devoted a lot of time and energy to something in particular, you know, and you can see their passion in it, you know, whether it's like, you know, Derek Bartlett and stuff with his classes. And it was really interesting to me. I actually went to the same class at two different conferences just to get kind of a refresher on it. You know, it's just, that to me is the best part about it because you always learn something new.
Yeah.
And you can pick up on new stuff. But to me, that's what you have to do. You got to keep an open mind and you always got to keep taking in information and learning from everybody else. So
I wholeheartedly agree. I think that going to the lectures are very important. But they're also that's where you get to see the summary. You know, you get basically, what, an hour summary.
Usually.
Of, you know, usually, sometimes a lifetime of, you know, investigations or a lifetime of study or of an event or something that you may not have known about. You know, oh, this happened and here's all the things around it. You get an hour summary out of, for just sitting there, you get to learn so much and benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, afterwards, you hightail it outside and you talk about it, which is really...
Oh, exactly. Or if you're really interested in it, you can talk to the person and, you know, more than likely they'll, you know, you can exchange information and learn more from them later on. So
exactly.
It's part of the network, the networking in them with that too, you know, so not only do you get to learn what they had to say in their lecture, but you may make some contacts and be able to learn more from them. So.
Now, when you were in Decatur, you guys had a convoy going, right? Was there a couple cars of you guys, of the ARC folks?
Actually, believe it or not, I was the only one that can't. It was actually all WNY. Because for me, you know, a lot of people on my team, of course, we all work regular jobs and stuff. So,
right.
They didn't get to come down for this one, and I came down to check it out, of course. And since I'm so close, you know, I can be in Decatur in 45 minutes or less.
True.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, I went down to see them and you know, because you guys were coming down too, you know, and to say hi, hang out, and see. Yeah, well, you know, so
that's the worst possible reason to go. Oh, Ghostly Doc's going to be there. Let's go. Unless you know you want to see Bonnie make a fool of herself, that's the worst reason to go.
But
well, yeah.
Oh, well, everyone does want to see.
I never said I had good reason.
So, do you get road trip conversations then, or road trip stories? I mean, because obviously it's a hike from Central Illinois to Western New York, right? To Batavia.
Oh yeah,
on to Batavia.
And actually, I had the opportunity. I took one of my team members, John, with me, who worked his tail off when we got out there. He was a very hard worker as far as talking to people and stuff. And you never know when you're riding with somebody in a car for, you know, 12 or 13 hours, how things are going to go. Because you know, you may be best friends, but when you're in a cramped space like that for that amount of time, it could go south pretty quick. So it ended up being a great trip. You know, so it was awesome. You know, I was exhausted when we left though, coming back. But you know, really. People like that are the people I look to travel with. But unfortunately, with my car, my vehicle, I have to do all the driving, as far as because most people don't drive it like straight, you know,
right.
Drive a stick. So, and I don't have cruise control either. So
it's
like driving for 12 hours.
Sounds a lot like when we never took it. Did we ever take it on a trip, the Death Sport?
The Death Sport, you and Scott took it to Mansfield.
We took it to Mansfield, and Will and I took it to
And actually, we took it
out west
yes.
for that accident.
Yes.
Yes, okay. So so we did indeed take a car with no air conditioning. No, it was a stick shift. It was an Escort, so it was tiny, tiny, tiny. And I'm pretty sure it only had an AM radio. It may have had an AM FM radio, but I only listened to talk radio, so I only had it on AM. And it was definitely a time when you're traveling in a vehicle like that to get to know the person that you're riding with. Because pretty much the only thing you could do. It was so cramped and small and manual. And yes, it did not have power anything. So except for steering, power steering. Very very tough. Very
my
tough.
My previous car had rack and pinion steering. So if you wanted to turn left, you had to earn the right to turn left. So
wow.
It wasn't going to let you just do it on the whim. Yeah.
Wow. Well,
that's been a while. Luckily, my car I have now, at least it's a Hyundai Accent, which isn't saying much, but it has power steering, thank God.
So. And air conditioning, I hope?
And air,
yeah. See, yeah,
it doesn't have cruise. So.
That's amazing. Although I have to say, my car right after the Death Escort did not have cruise control.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard all about that, right?
It didn't have power windows either. This was a huge bone of contention during traveling.
Yeah, our travels were mostly complaining about the vehicle. And then, and the person who owns it. And then...
I always complain about the person
who
owns
true.
It.
And then, of course, now I've got cruise, I've got the power windows, I've got... actually a place, you know, that's
and now
covered.
We won't go anywhere.
So now we haven't gone anywhere since I got there.
But if you do, it's there for you.
Yeah.
So it's
but
there yeah.
If
you do.
One of these days, I think I'm going to write a book about mine and Doug's road adventures.
Yes, we've had them all.
We couldn't have it on the radio, though. It would have to go, like, straight to HBO or something, because
There might be language.
We talk about some odd things on the road.
We do. So I find the Jeremy, I find the road trip to be absolutely insane, right? Going to these conventions. I find the conventions themselves to be obviously learning opportunities as well as a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I think conventions are definitely a thing to do. Are you doing any more conventions this year or next year?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if they do another Supernatural Summit, I'll be there, of course. And I may even come down for a Spooktacular
indicator
and check that out.
You'll only get to see me. I hate to break it to you.
Aw.
What?
I'm
going to physically be... Ooh.
I'm kidding.
Oh, it's on, mister.
I'm physically...
Now I'll have to come down.
I'm going to physically be at the first paranormal, or the first Chicago Paranormal Conference.
Mm-hmm.
So the first annual Chicago Paranormal Conference. So that's where I'm going to be in Scottsdale. And Bonnie and the entire rest of the gang, Amber...
I think Amber's going to Chicago with you.
Oh, unless...
Yeah, now what date is that?
Same weekend.
Same weekend as Spooktacular.
The same
is
weekend.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to run back and forth. It's 45 minutes down and 3 hours up. So.
But the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show will be at Spooktacular.
Yeah, that's true. Ghost Man and Demon Hunter will both be at Spooktacular.
So if I'm not a big enough pull for you, mister, you can go hang out with the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
That sounds awesome.
We are so fighting the next time I see you.
I know.
I love it.
It's going to be awesome. I have to say, we've got like less than a minute, but your website, arcparanormal.org, and what you're trying to do, get all these scientific and top researchers together in one place, a noble goal.
It's difficult, but it's something I think we needed to happen. So,
excellent.
You know, I just keep looking for people that are doing the hardcore research. You know, it's not how many books you're selling or how many TV shows you've got. It's the true researchers, the people that are really dedicated and passionate about it, and pulling those people. And I'm taking my time on it, to be honest with you, because I want to make sure it's a very balanced council. And, you can check out all the information online. And we've got all kinds of things. You can do software downloads. There's a forum and, articles and such like that. So we're trying to build the community up and get people, talking and conversing and, get ideas and theories shared and stuff like that. So it's a very worthwhile thing for me. So I think it's very important.
Keep up the good work, Jeremy. Thank you for coming on Ghostly Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Yeah. And do hang on the line. Hang on the line. Don't hang
up
quite yet. Coming up next, the one and only Alexandra Holzer. And I bet you recognize that name. And we're going to meet her and talk with her for the next hour. Very exciting to me. And so hang on. Everybody tune in. Go to www.ghostlytalk.com and or arcparanormal.org.